Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Jonathan Evans and Anna Mateo. Later, Jonathan Evans and Ashley Thompson have a special report on one of America's national treasures. But first, there were many things Miranda Rojas had never done in her life. Born and raised in San Jose, Costa Rica, the 19-year-old had never been to neighboring countries in South America, let alone North America. She had never met a Muslim person. She had never even used public transportation. All of that would change once Rojas completed high school and came to study at a university in the U.S. in 2016. Rojas says when she was younger, her parents were a little strict. But when it came to higher education, her parents wanted her to have as much freedom and independence as possible. They encouraged her to study at a university outside of Costa Rica, she says. Both of her parents were international students. Her mother earned a master's degree at Marymount University in the U.S. state of Virginia. Her father earned an undergraduate degree from Cornell University and earned his master's from the University of Pennsylvania. They wanted Rojas and her sister to see what the world outside their country might offer them, she says. But it was her father who pushed her to follow their path.
He loved his experience, and he learned a lot. He says it changed him, so he wanted that for us, too. And they always, like, encouraged us to apply to universities, to take the SAT, take the TOEFL, go look at universities.
At first, Rojas wanted to attend a large school for her undergraduate studies. She says she believed only a big school would have international students and American students of different races and backgrounds. So her first choice was Syracuse University in New York, a school of almost 22,000 students. But her high school guidance counselor asked Rojas to consider the more personal experience a smaller college or university might provide. In the end, she listened to this advice and chose to study psychology at Roger Williams University. Formed in 1956, Roger Williams is a private liberal arts school in Bristol, Rhode Island. The university has about 4,800 students, and the campus sits on the coast of Mount Hope Bay, about an hour southeast of the city of Providence. In fact, beautiful water surrounds the town of Bristol on three sides. Rojas was a little worried about how white the student population at Roger Williams was when she first arrived. The U.S. Department of Education's College Scorecard states that about 73% of the students there are white. And Rojas thought that as a foreigner and a Latina, people would treat her like an outsider. However, Rojas quickly found friends among the international students she met through the Intercultural Center at Roger Williams. The Intercultural Center is an office at the school that helps international students with their academic and social lives. It offers study help and hosts special events. It is also a place for international students to relax with each other and their friends.
Rojas says that through the Intercultural Center, she has made friends from all over the world. This includes people from countries whose people she never thought she would meet, like Rwanda and Saudi Arabia. And while she first thought her race or nationality would separate her from American students, she could not have been more wrong, Rojas says. She says that Americans are much less open to meeting strangers than people are in Costa Rica. Yet once her classmates started to learn she is an international student, they all were happy to meet her and had many questions about her life back home. However, for Qiming Li, the main difficulty as an international student was not just making friends with Americans. He says he also struggled with being treated equally. Li is from Guangzhou, China. He came to the U.S. in 2009 to finish his last 2 years of high school at the private Darrow School in New York. Even though he had been living in the U.S. for 3 years, Li says his English still was not as strong as it could have been when he started at Roger Williams in 2012.
Li says the students treated him differently because of this. Once, while working on a group project, the other members of his group tried to do his share of the work for him, he says. He believes they did so because they did not believe he understood his responsibilities. Li did not let this anger him. He simply told his group members that he was actually able to do the work himself. And ever since, he has seen the challenges of living in a foreign country and studying in a different language as a way of proving himself. In fact, Li completed his undergraduate degree in history in spring 2016. He then chose to start a master's degree program in historical preservation at Roger Williams the following fall. Like Rojas, Li also says he owes a lot to the support he received from the Intercultural Center. He says the students and staff he has met through the center never judge him. And while he has faced some difficulties dealing with American students, he still has learned a lot from them.
If I did not come here, I think my views on a lot of things will be different. In this school is that you have students from everywhere. You're from UK, from South Africa, and you have people from the southern part, the west coast of the US. You kind of get an opinion of how everyone feel about different things.
I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And I'm Pete Musto.
Carnival is one of the most popular celebrations in South America's biggest country, Brazil. And nowhere is the six-day celebration bigger than in the city of Rio de Janeiro. People across the city fill the streets with singing and dancing in the days before the Catholic religious observance of Lent. The festival includes parades and contests between the city's top samba schools, known as the Special Group. But the Rio Times newspaper reports that the mayor may reduce the amount of money given to the city's top samba schools by one half for the 2018 festival. Rio Mayor Marcelo Crivella says the money would be used for the city's child care centers. City officials say the samba schools of the special group received about $8 million for the carnival parades in 2017. Now, officials want to reduce that amount to about $4 million for 2018. Crivella said that people living in the city must decide whether they would rather use their resources for, in his words, a 3-day party or 365 days a year. Jorge Luis Castañeda is the president of the Independent League of Samba Schools, or LIESA. He said that Crivella promised to invest more money in Carnival, not less, during his campaign for mayor. He added that Rio's economy depends on Carnival for tourism. He argued that hotels, restaurants, and other economic activities create hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue for the city. LIESA wrote a more detailed response to the mayor's announcement on their website. Crivella became mayor of Rio de Janeiro in January. He is a member of the Universal Church of the Kingdom of God. That religious group does not approve of Carnival. The mayor was criticized for not giving the key to the city to King Momu during this year's Carnival. King Momu is the traditional figure of Carnival whose appearance represents the beginning of the celebration. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Now, the VOA Learning English Program, Words and Their Stories. On this program, we explore words and common expressions in American English. We communicate, most commonly, of course, with our words. But we also speak with our bodies. We call it body language. Sometimes, though, we need to describe our body language with words. That is what today's show is about, talking about body language. Two types of body language have made their way into text messaging and social media language. The most common is LOL. If we are LOLing, we are laughing out loud. That is what LOL stands for. And it is easy to know when to use this. If a friend writes something to you that is extremely funny or hilarious, you can reply with LOL. In conversation, though, it sounds weird to simply say the letters LOL. Here is another one you might see in a text message from a friend. So when someone nods their head up and down, that means they are in agreement. And if they shake their heads back and forth, it means they are disagreeing. Well, sometimes it does. Sometimes shaking one's head means something completely different. For example, I might say I could only shake my head at his arrogance. This means that I couldn't believe that he had said or done something so arrogant. In a text, email, or social media post, you can simply type SMH. But just as with LOL, it doesn't sound right in spoken English. Here is an example of how to use the full phrase, shake my head, in a conversation.
I can't believe how your friend acted at the funeral. When the preacher began speaking, she laughed out loud. It was so disrespectful.
How do you think I felt? I was standing with her. I could only shake my head and cringe inside. It was so embarrassing.
If your friend is always behaving badly, you may just have to throw your hands up. This body language expression means that you realize that you cannot do anything to make a situation better. For example, let's say you are teaching a room full of young children when suddenly a dog runs through the classroom. The children jump up and start laughing and chasing the dog. You can't do anything to quiet them down. So you just throw your hands up and let them have fun. Shrugging your shoulders is when you raise and lower them. As body language, it shows that you don't care about something. But it can also mean that you are uncertain or perhaps just bored. For example, let's say I am babysitting a friend's child. At dinner time, I ask the child, "So, do you want pasta or rice for dinner?" He doesn't say anything. He just shrugs his shoulders. So, I made my favorite, pasta with tomato sauce. Rolling your eyes is another way to show you don't care. This body language says that you don't care at all about what someone is saying. Eye rolling is even more disrespectful than shoulder shrugging. So teachers and parents often criticize children for eye rolls by simply saying, "Don't roll your eyes at me." Staying with the eyes, we come to raising eyebrows. Usually, when we raise our eyebrows, our faces look as if we are surprised or shocked by something. But raising your eyebrows can also show that you disapprove of something. There is a certain amount of judgment in eyebrow raising. Let's hear it used in a short dialogue.
"Did you hear about Jack? During the weekly meeting with staff, he wore a head-to-toe clown costume."
"Oh, that's nothing. He lost a bet with his son and had to wear it."
"Well, it raised some eyebrows around the office. People are saying he isn't serious enough to be manager."
"Wearing a clown costume is nothing to raise your eyebrows at. People should really lighten up."
Now, when some people are nervous, they bite their nails. It may not be a good habit, but it has given us a useful word. Something such as a game or a movie that causes you to feel nervous because the ending is not known until the final moment is called a nail biter. When talking about a sporting event, the opposite of a nail biter is a blowout. A blowout is a game where one team outscores the other by a lot.
"Hey, did you watch the basketball game last night?"
"I did. What a great game."
"I know. I haven't seen a game that close in a long time. It was a real nail biter. The score was tied until the last 10 minutes.
"It was a much better game than last week. That game was a blowout. One team scored 68 points in the first quarter, while the other didn't even score one. Boring."
And that's all for this Words and Their Stories. Even though this program is not a nail biter, we hope you're not rolling your eyes or shrugging your shoulders with boredom. And we certainly hope your eyebrows aren't raised in disapproval. But we do hope you give us a thumbs up, which, of course, means good job. I'm Ana Mateo.
Body language. Body language. Body language.
Our National Parks journey continues this week with one of the most popular and beautiful places in America, Grand Canyon National Park in the state of Arizona. The Grand Canyon is one of the seven natural wonders of the world and one of the largest canyons on Earth. It stretches for 450 kilometers. Parts of the canyon are more than 30 kilometers wide and 1 kilometer deep. Many writers have tried to describe the wonder of the Grand Canyon. They use words like mysterious, overpowering, and strange. But it is not possible to put human meaning to such a place. The Grand Canyon truly is beyond words.
Is this your first time at the Grand Canyon?
Yes.
And what do you think? Do you have a few words to describe it?
Beautiful. Amazing.
What do you think of the Grand Canyon?
Oh, very huge and very colorful.
Do you have some words to describe what you're seeing?
Amazing. It's so amazing when I see it at the first look.
The canyons of America's Southwest are deep, ancient openings in the earth. They look as if they formed as the earth split apart. In reality, rivers formed these canyons. 40 million years ago, the Colorado River began cutting through the area around the present-day Grand Canyon. The river carried dirt and pieces of stone that slowly ate away at the surrounding rock. It left a pathway of enormous rock openings. At the same time, forces deep within the earth pushed up the surrounding land. Rain, snow, ice, wind, and plant roots rubbed away at the top of this new canyon. Below, the river continued to uncover more and more levels of ancient rock. Some of the exposed rocks along the Grand Canyon's walls are nearly 2 billion years old. They are among the oldest rocks on Earth, with many levels of granite, schist, limestone, and sandstone.
The Grand Canyon measures 2,500 meters from the canyon floor to its highest point. Because of its size, the weather at the top of the canyon is often much different from the bottom. On some winter days, for example, you may find cold winds and snow at the top. But at the bottom of the canyon, you may find warm winds and flowers. The Grand Canyon is home to some 2,000 plant species. Some of these species can only be found in the park. The park is also home to more than 370 species of birds, 90 kinds of mammals, and 40 kinds of reptiles. Many of the birds spend their whole lives in the Grand Canyon. Other species depend on the Grand Canyon for food and shelter during large migrations. The Grand Canyon was named a globally important bird area in 2014 because of the role it plays in protecting many species of birds.
Native Americans occupied the Grand Canyon 3,000 years ago. Bones, hair, feathers, and the remains of plants have been found in deep, dry caves high in the rock walls. The Hopi, Paiute, Navajo, and other Native American tribes have all been in the area for at least 700 years. In 1869, American John Wesley Powell explored the Grand Canyon. He recorded much of what we know today about the area. Powell and his group traveled in four boats along the Colorado River. He and his group of explorers knew very little about getting over the fast, rocky waters of the Colorado River. In many places, boats could be turned over by giant waves. Soon after they started their journey, Powell's group lost some of its food and equipment. Three members decided to leave the group. As they walked up and out of the Grand Canyon, they were killed by Native Americans. The rest of Powell's group survived the journey. Starved and tired, Powell and his group reached the end of the canyon. They had traveled by boat down the Colorado for more than 3 months. John Wesley Powell's reports and maps from the trip greatly increased interest in the Grand Canyon. But visitors did not begin to go there in large numbers until 1901. That year, a railway was built that reached the area.
Five million people visit the Grand Canyon every year. The first sight of the canyon can leave visitors speechless. Depending on the time of day, the sun lights up the rock walls in red, orange, and golden colors. The bright colors are the result of minerals in the rock. Their appearance changes endlessly with the light, the time of year, and the weather. At sunset, the canyon walls display fiery red and gold hues. Then they take on softer colors of blue, purple, and green. Most visitors walk along paths partway down the canyon. It takes several hours to walk to the bottom and even longer to climb back up. Some visitors choose to ride mules to the bottom of the canyon. Mules are strong, sturdy animals that look similar to horses. Visitors can also explore the Grand Canyon in other ways. Hundreds of thousands of people see the canyon by air each year. They pay a helicopter or airplane pilot to fly them above and around the canyon. Thousands of people every year choose to explore the Grand Canyon by boat from the Colorado River. These trips last 1 to 3 weeks.
Most people who come to the Grand Canyon National Park visit an area known as the South Rim. That area has shuttle buses that take visitors to overlooks. Fewer people see the canyon from the North Rim. The North Rim is less than 20 kilometers across the canyon from the South Rim, but visitors must drive more than 350 kilometers by car from the South Rim to access the North Rim. Visitors can also see the Grand Canyon from a huge glass walkway called the Skywalk. The Skywalk is on the Hualapai Indian Reservation in the western part of the canyon. The Hualapai Indians built it to increase tourism at the reservation. It opened in 2007. The Skywalk extends more than 20 meters from the canyon's rim. It is suspended more than 1,200 meters above the bottom of the canyon and is shaped like a giant horseshoe. Many call the Skywalk an engineering wonder, but others have criticized the Skywalk and its development. They say it reduces the enjoyment of nature in the Grand Canyon. For visitors hoping to get a view of the entire Grand Canyon, they will have to travel well beyond the state of Arizona. The only place to see the entire canyon at once is from outer space. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Jonathan Evans.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.